the account that we read of the Lord's passion in this celebration of the Lord's victory over the powers of sin and death, walking with him, accompanying him. Oftentimes when disciples reflect upon these powerful and tremendous moments, weaving together the narrative that comes to us through all four Gospels, it's not uncommon for them to say or to think, why did the Lord ask Jesus to redeem us in such a way? When we visualize every step that he takes, every pain, every bruise, the nails in his hands and his feet, being hungry and dehydrated, rejected and abandoned, we're left with a picture that is quite terrible to behold in the purely human sense. And so it's not uncommon for that thought to arise. Why, Lord? I know as a priest I've been asked many times by those pondering this mystery, Father, this is such a horrible event. It's hard for me to behold or to walk even the way of the cross. Why did God the Father ask Jesus to endure such an agony, such a passion and death as he did? If we read the great theologians of the church and the church fathers, we start to understand that there's a powerful mystery to that question that cannot be fully expressed or answered in this lifetime. In fact, the fullness of that mystery lies in the depths of the mystery of God himself. And yet, in the midst of that mystery, there is something to be gained and observed that we can at least learn and grasp in this pilgrim journey on earth as these earthen vessels longing for the fullness of what Christ won for you and for me. All of us, throughout our life, have experienced pain, we've experienced abandonment, loneliness, rejection. At times, I'm sure that we can recount moments where we even experience injustices. We've also experienced physical illness, lack of well-being. We've tripped, we've skinned a knee, perhaps broken a bone. And I think because of all of that, we're able to understand what it means when we look at Jesus on the way of the cross. It's captivating to you and me. It catches our attention. Because while we are not experiencing the same exact pains as our Lord, we can imagine what he feels in the flesh. We know what it is to be thirsty, to be fatigued, to be hungry. So when we watch him take every step, it captivates us because our imagination grabs hold of that moment. And that's partly the reason that God is allowing Jesus and willing Jesus to offer himself up in his human flesh. Because it first grabs our attention. Secondly, through grabbing our attention, we become aware of some spiritual realities once we realize who Jesus is and what he wants to do for us. First, we see in a very
palpable and tangible way, God the Father's love for us. Jesus, indeed, in this moment, and even throughout all of his life, but something especially in these moments, when he's walking the way of the cross, shows us the face of the Father's mercy, his love that is eternal, unshakable, and perfect. Jesus tells us that the only reason he is doing this in obedience to the Father is to lay down his life in love for us. And we see what love truly looks like when we drink and meditate upon this scene that took place within human history and won salvation for all. It is his perfect act in his human nature as a divine person, winning for you and me the graces that bring us salvation, open up the way to heaven, and allow us to be caught up in God's divine life with a new and everlasting covenant, one that endures into eternity, the heart of which is the Lord saying to us boldly, I love you this much, that I will not abandon you in original sin. What a powerful reflection that love is. We think about that gift of love, it provides us with also an awareness of it, but also what it means to love. Jesus is loving us in a sacrificial way, laying his life down, his human life down, that all might have life and have it abundantly. When we think of that love, we look out into the world and we see all the confusions that have arisen in the world about love. We see the confusion about marital love, about love and service. And it's confused with all sorts of notions that detract from the true power of love. St. Paul tells us all the qualities that abide in love, that it's kind, it's peaceful, it's forgiving, it bears all things. We can think of that list. And at times, our society can confuse some of those qualities for love itself. Sometimes kindness and peacefulness, getting along just to get along, can seem like love to some. The confusion arises because love will be respectful and kind and patient. But love is something more. It's deeper, much more profound and real and enduring. Love transforms a human heart, awakens in us a greater purpose, and clarifies our mind in truth, accepting what the Lord is working in our lives. And then in turn, when we look out, because we are now aware of who we are in God's eyes, we realize this is true of everyone around us. It's why when we see great saints like St. Teresa of Calcutta, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Clare, they were moved to love the most vulnerable and serve them with the gift of their own lives, laying down their life in service of those in need during their day and time. They were able to recognize the human dignity in the other And Christ reflected back because they understood their own worth in these saving moments. They purified their mind and understood that when they looked around in this world, all of its good, all of its treasure, all of its beauty that God even created and named good, paled in comparison to the goodness of the inheritance that awaits us in the fullness of the heavenly kingdom. It didn't diminish the goodness that they saw. It just ordered it properly. That is a gift of love. When we look at the lives of the martyrs, St. Maximilian Kolbe, willing to lay down his life for the good of another so that they may live and he might take their place. Imitation of Christ and embracing the lesson that Jesus taught him personally so that he might be empowered to love in such a way. The lesson that we have today, my brothers and sisters, is twofold. First, to be enamored by the love in which Christ has loved us. To be captivated by it, mesmerized by it. To truly accompany him along the way of the stations, knowing that it is our sins that he is liberating from our soul. So that when we have that realization that is quite real and personal, Lord, I did this to you, we might also experience that love and mercy in which Christ looks at us in the depths of our souls and says, I know, I forgive you, please follow me, I have something amazing to reveal to you. And then to be transformed by it is the second lesson and challenge. That having received that powerful understanding and awareness, we then seek to share it generously with everyone we encounter, no matter what. That we can look at the example of Christ and the saints who followed him, and realize it was not just a grace given to them alone, but that the Lord is continually pouring himself out to abide with us in grace, his saving and sanctifying graces, so that we may truly serve him in love and one another in love, sacrificially, each and every day. In a few moments after our intercessory prayers, we'll have the opportunity to venerate the cross, remembering the instrument by which Jesus has redeemed and saved the world, but not in a general sense, but allowing ourselves to be reminded also of the personal nature in which Jesus looks out and sees you and me, and utters those words across time and space. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And see in that moment, in the very person of Christ, the face of the Father's mercy, the face of the Father's love.